Hi, everybody. It's Elaine, and it is Thursday, March 24th, 2016. It is the 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Parent Success System call, and we're talking this week about motivation and buy-in. And I think that's all I'm supposed to say in the way of introduction. So let's start by doing some check-ins and get a sense of what everybody wants to take aim on this week. We had an interesting call earlier this week. I sort of did it backwards by accident, and it's always fascinating when that happens, is we ended up taking aim at the end of the call based on the conversation instead of taking aim on the beginning. And it was interesting how it became clear. So I just sort of offer that. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but if you're not clear on what you want to work on, I'm going to open the opportunity to you today to say, let me wait on that to the end and let's see what comes up. So your choice, but if you've got something you know you want to take aim on, definitely. Let's start with that. So first check-ins, what's going on for the three of you?
We are working in my house, this is Eden, on sort of independence and having some pretty good success with that. Once I decided to let go, it was easier than I thought. and he's been more or less doing a good job, but then spring fever seems to have happened in the last week, and all of a sudden all of the systems and structures fell out the window, and I've been catching him under his covers in the middle of the night on his iPod, and now we're trying to get control over that. So we just had a meeting where he actually came up with the schedule, which is the schedule that I would have wanted him to come up with, but he did it on his own. And so now we're sort of practicing that routine, and we just put it on a big sticky pad on the wall, but he wrote it all, so he does seem to have more buy-in.
Awesome. So great conversation for today. So congratulations. I love the line, once I decided to let go, it was easier than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. So anybody else, Liz or Pam, where are you guys?
I think Liz should go. She's got a lot to talk about.
I've had a really interesting 2 weeks. So the first part of the week started with Caitlin breaking up with her boyfriend. She's in a really bad way. She's anxiety levels are really high.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not surprising with a whole heap of stuff.
But was it her choice?
Yeah. It was her choice, yeah. She just felt, yeah, it was. So,
good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Still, you know, she's still in lots of pain and hurt from it, but it was her choice. So,
great.
Yeah, so she's figuring out what she needs, which is like a really positive thing. But it's just another thing in the big melting pot of stuff that's going on for her. So, the other one that was Pete. Pete had his operation on Wednesday.
I was going to say, wasn't the surgery this week?
Yeah, it was on Wednesday, which was that's 2 days for us. And so he was in surgery all day, and during that time, I got a phone call from my daughter to say that she's having her baby. So we rushed into town, into Wellington, into the same hospital that Pete was in, which is the amazing thing, because I was in level 4 with Beth and her hubby, having this beautiful granddaughter I've got now.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, it was so awesome being there. It was just amazing. And in between, I could rush up to Pete when he'd come out of surgery and he was on the ward, up 3 floors, to say, it's all happening. Then I go back down, and then when she was born, went back up, said, you're a grandfather. And then the amazing thing, the hospital staff wheeled him down, an orderly, We all
oh my God,
down
I got chills.
In the delivery suite. It was phenomenal. So the timing was perfect because he got to see his one-hour-old granddaughter, and then the next day they wheeled him down to her in the ward to see her before she went to another hospital, like a local hospital out where we live.
Yeah.
So he got to see her instead of being in hospital for a week and not seeing her at all. And so you couldn't
wow.
wish for better.
What an amazing...
The surgery went really well for him. But, yeah, so some of the outcome is probably not what we wanted. So in terms
of his surgery.
Having a... Yeah, so he's got an ostomy bag now, so... You know, he's an active guy, and I know it's just a new normal we've got to get used to. So,
and it's so much easier now than it was. My grandmother had that.
Yeah.
And
it's
much more manageable now, but still, it's not what you hoped for.
Yeah. It wasn't what we hoped for, but, you know, the outcome's positive because they've got everything. So, you know, it's just having to change. How you think about stuff, and he's really positive. He is such a positive guy, so it'll be fine. He'll adapt, and because he's adapt, everyone else will adapt, and, you know. Yeah, and then the icing on the cake of all that, if you can't think, I mean, that was that's the most amazing stuff, but Pete and I talked about me getting to Dawn French. She's over in New Zealand doing her 30 million minutes show, and Pete was falling asleep last night, so he said, "Oh, well, why don't you see if you can get into that show?" So from 7 o'clock, leaving him till 7:30, the doors shut at 8:00. I walked in, got the best seat in the house. There was one ticket left, and it was like just this, and I just laughed and laughed and laughed. So all the stress. Last how many months was laughed out at Dawn French. I say thank you God, it was amazing.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's me.
That is just brilliant. That is probably, not that I'm comparing or anything, but that's probably the best check-in I've ever had in all of my years doing PSS.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What an amazing confluence of events. And I love the part about Pete getting, like, the motivation piece, like, how, talk about tying in today's topic of, you know, to be in the middle of having this major life-altering surgery and have a grandbaby at the same time, and what a motivation to sort of want to choose life and health. And just how incredible is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was determined. He was determined to see that baby, and it caused a lot of pain, but he saw her. It was, you know, just hours after recovery from an operation, you know, he was determined, and thanks to the hospital made it happen, you know. It was
It's amazing. Instead of going, "I'm sorry, it's against the rules," they sort of saw the value.
Yeah, it was the first man to ever be wheeled in on a bed into a delivery suite.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Anyway.
If you like to write, I strongly suggest somebody write the story because it's just too good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Congratulations on all fronts, that he's well and positive, and you have a beautiful grandbaby, and you got to laugh it all out. That's great.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, that's a rough act to follow, Pam.
I was just thinking, oh, sorry, doll.
So what is going up? You're welcome to bottom line if you want.
I guess we got to the end of term one, so yay! You know, that's kind of a celebration, I think. from a check-in perspective, what I've been trying to do over the last week or so is just get a better understanding of triggers on a number of fronts.
Sorry.
Triggers.
Triggers, great, yes.
Yep. Trying to understand what, you know, what are the triggers that I'm seeing, because, you know, I'm pretty good these days at not being triggered by Lauren, but I get triggered by my older daughter and I get triggered by my husband and, you know, my daughters trigger each other. So I've just been trying to observe and understand what's going on, probably more for my husband. So, you know, that's been good at understanding that, and it's really sort of helped me to, you know, be more empathetic towards his situation, because he'll be, you know, he can be quite despondent, and it's been really helpful just to sort of try and understand what causes the trigger and just be more empathetic, which has really made a difference as well. So it sort of helped me talk to my older daughter, who's, you know, she argued with him the other day when she went to see him because he was quite depressed and upset. And when I spoke to her at night about it, she said, well, he gets all very negative and, you know, it's my job not to put up with that and just, you know, get him out of that. And I said, well, it's actually not. It's not your job to do that at all, really. And, you know, I found that... it's been really helpful just to sort of meet him where he is and just be empathetic, and that's made a huge difference. And it's been really helpful for him just to listen and hear where he's at. Anyway, so that's been really helpful for me.
Well, you know, what I'm noticing is that sometimes when you see somebody else handling something in what may have been your old pattern, right, it can sort of highlight for you what you're doing now and how it's working.
Yep.
Right. So that's actually, not only is there a chance to educate her and bring her into a different conversation, but hopefully you see the celebration of how you've shifted and what a difference that's made.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has been really good. And I ended up having a very good conversation with Rachel yesterday morning, actually, just before we both left in the morning, where, you know, her and Lauren had, you know, yet another argument. And I've been trying to talk to Rachel and try and get her to be more empathetic towards her sister and understand the role that she plays in, triggering Lauren.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much. Like yesterday morning, Lauren had her phone on playing music at breakfast, and Rachel doesn't wake up very well, so she said, oh, turn your music off. And then Lauren basically said no. So Rachel grabbed a phone and turned it off, and of course that then led to a tirade of abuse from Lauren. And Rachel was just, how dare she speak to me like that, which is, you know, a fair point, except, you know, you should know
except
that
she had
touching
just done something equally as rude. Yeah.
Well, correct.
Yeah.
You know, but Rachel doesn't sort of see it that way. And it came that Rachel was actually considering, she was blocked saying, I can't believe my mother is trying to get me to think about how I talk to my sister when Lauren is abusing me. I can't believe she's making me responsible for this. Whereas, and, you know, Rachel was stuck on how unfair that was. And, in fact, I hadn't taken her on my journey, which is, you know, it may not be fair. And in the situation we're in, what is fair is that everybody behaves nicely and supports each other. But the only way we can get Lauren to change is changing ourselves. So what I've been trying to do with Lauren is, sorry, with Rachel, is get her to accept that and realise the only way we'll get Lauren to change is to change what she does. But she was stuck thinking, how unfair is this? And having a good conversation around, well, you know, it may not be fair, Rachel, and I get it's unfair, but if we want her to change, she won't change because we tell her to change. She'll change because we change how we treat her. So it was a really good conversation, actually, where we were able to sort of get past this sort of the resentment that she had towards me and asking her to change her behaviour when she saw her sister as 100% responsible. She still does, but she's sort of learning to accept that if we want the situation to change, we can't control Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, that's sort of a huge life lesson from all of this, is we really can't control anyone else, can we?
No, and I've kind of come to that conclusion myself over the last little while, and I've got past the whole, you know, frustration and it's not fair, but in fairness to Rachel, I hadn't really brought her on that journey. I just, you know, leapfrogged over that and basically expected that, you know, she would, well, not really thought about it actually, and just gone straight to, you know, you need to change how you're relating to your sister.
Right. Great. Wow. A lot of revelation there. I mean, just a lot of such an amazing amount of self-awareness and dynamic awareness there, Pam. Just really, I just really want to acknowledge the work that you're doing, because it's so evident. And it's not easy, but it's really, this. You sound so grounded and centered.
I don't always feel it, I can tell you that.
I know. And I can't imagine you would, right? But there's definitely a, the more you understand it and the more you realize that I can really only control me, the easier it is to be with other people when they're out of control.
Yep.
And that goes back to what you were saying, even the same thing. It's like you said, you know, once I decided to let go, it was easier than I thought.
Yeah. And he's doing better than I would have expected.
Right. Right. He began to shift his behavior. And it may take time, you know, particularly, in fact, in some ways it's harder for the older daughter because she's been in this pattern for so many years. So you really do have to undo a pattern before you can create a new one. So do you guys want to, just sort of moving in and being mindful of where we are, do we want to just move into a conversation about buy-in and motivation, or do you feel like you want to take aim first?
I'd like to talk about buy-in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about it, and then we'll see where we're – and so instead of commitments to action today, I think what we're going to leave with is a commitment to taking aim on something using that based on what we talk about. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. So I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes, but not really for a long time, because I really think there's so much more conversation in this than there is teaching in this. Because a lot of this is not new. Right. So fundamentally, we know that kids who are struggling, and any adults, all of us who are struggling with executive function, don't have a just get it done button. And so our brains need a motivation to get activated, stay engaged, stay focused, follow through, hold the energy, finish the task. Right. Every aspect of it requires some level of motivation to engage and get stuff done. And, you know, it's in the workbook. There are five basic components or things that motivate our brains or our complex brains. And those are novelty, competition, urgency, interest, and humor or play or fun. Novelty, you know, we see that at the beginning of a quarter, beginning of a school year, you got a new teacher, new program. The novelty can sort of carry kids through for a little while. A new system can carry you through for a little while. It hasn't gotten boring yet. Competition works for some of our kids and not for others. It sort of depends on that level of anxiety. But it can be a really good motivator, whether you're competing with yourself or with others, depending on you know, what other neurology you've got going on. There was a mom earlier this week who was talking about she had her son. They have some online system where they can see how they're doing compared to the rest of the class in some math thing. And he loves it because he can see if he's the first one to get it in or whatever. So that really inspires him. It would have shut my daughter down. So, you know, knowing how the kid responds to it is important. Urgency is really about the challenge to urgency is that it takes place in a different part of the brain. That's the fight or flight amygdala hijack. When the amygdala takes over, it's a really effective tool for a lot of people, particularly with ADHD, in the short term, but we have to be careful of it being a long-term strategy because it stimulates the stress cycle, and it's using adrenaline, so it's stressing out the body. So just it's one of those, it can be good, but we got to be careful. Interest is, you know, your classic, they do what they do well with what they're interested in and not what they don't, and it's very hard to help our kids or husbands or whomever understand that sometimes we have to do things in life that aren't so interesting. So finding, that's where motivation comes in. What do you, how can you make it interesting? How can you make it compelling? And the last one is sort of play or humor or fun. It's just, you know, simple. I think it sort of ties into interest and it ties into novelty. But it's just about engaging, making it something that you want to do, making it compelling. So those are sort of the fundamental components of motivation. Where I think this conversation is so important, and what's come up in a lot of conversations this week, has been a discussion about buy-in. Because buy-in is really about the transfer of ownership. So we can find motivators, and we can use reward charts and create carrots and help, you know, teach our kids to find the motivation to do something. But or we can create an external motivator. But buy-in is what makes them want to use the motivator. And that's ultimately what we want. If they don't have the buy-in, that, you know, have you ever had a reward system that worked until you stopped having the reward and then they stopped doing it? That's usually because they were bought into the reward, not to the intention of making whatever the change was that you want to make. So buy-in becomes really important because that's the transfer of ownership of responsibility from us to them. You know, first when they're little, they're kids, we're directing them, and as they get older, we start sort of sharing in that direction and guiding them a little bit more, and then ultimately we want them to be guiding themselves and we want to be supporting that. But to do that, they have to buy in to their ownership. So Eden, you were giving a great example of your son. As soon as you let go, he bought into creating this system or this new schedule, right? And, you know, how successful it will be, you know, there are other factors. It is late in the school year for him. Burnout is high. There are other competing factors at play. But without the buy-in, he doesn't have much hope at all of it being successful. And if you've ever given your kid a structure and then thrown up your hands in disgust because they didn't use it, usually it's because they were never bought into using it in the first place. So I think that's the really interesting part of this conversation is how do you get yourself, your kids, your spouses, whomever, to buy in to their own success instead of dragging them kicking and screaming to it. And I'm going to stop there and sort of open the conversation and see what's come up for anybody.
So it brings up, you know, a few things to mind for me as I think about this year for Lauren, who's, you know, in her senior year, I think is sort of the US terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she started the year really positive, which I guess is the novelty.
Yeah.
You know, working really hard and keeping to a really good schedule, which was all hers. So, you know, every day during the week after school doing, you know, several hours of work and a full day on the weekend. And over the last few weeks, it's been, you know, it's really kind of fallen away. But she's had all of her assessments, though. They do assessments throughout the year, which form part of their end of school grade.
Mm-hmm.
And those finished a couple of weeks ago, and it's really since then in particular, she's really just, you know, thrown it all away. It's her structure, but I guess trying to stay on
top of
that.
It sounds like she lost the motivation for it.
Yeah, she has, but she's doing a subject photography this year, which she just loves, and it sort of feels like she's just, you know, that sort of dominating what she's doing. But she took me through her folio on Wednesday, and that was really good, actually. She's doing a great job. It also gave me an understanding of just how much work she actually has to do. So I'd been thinking, you know, really worried that she's spending all her time on photography and not doing her other core subjects, and she's actually got a lot to do with photography.
Right.
So.
Well, and but what you're also pointing to is that it's got a lot of pieces that motivate her. So she's got a really clear motivation to do that.
Yeah, she has, and she really enjoys it. It gives her a
right.
great outlet for her creativity.
So where would an understanding of motivation help her reconnect to those courses where there's no longer novelty to motivate her, there's no longer the competition and the urgency? I mean, she's lost all the key motivators for those other subjects.
Yeah, so I don't really know. I know she wants to do well this year, and she's got the potential to do very well.
Mm-hmm.
But she does, you know, it's a real marathon this year. So, and for some things it's easier than others. She got one of her results back for English, and she didn't think she'd done very well, and she did exceptionally well.
Oh, awesome.
So I think that's a motivator for her. But
mm-hmm.
then, you know, just being motivated in the sub to do well is not really enough, because she's got a book that she needs to read. She's doing English literature. She's got to read this book, which is a novella, I think. It's only about 100 pages or so.
Oh, so when you were saying was so boring?
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
Deadly Doll.
It's just such
yeah.
a dense, heavy text. And she's really struggling with, you know, I know she knows too well, but...
So, Pam, when you listen to this and see these five, how would her understanding of motivators, and so there are two pieces here, right? The buy-in is she's sort of bought into doing well this school year. She knows that she wants to. You may want to help her get clearer on why, what's important about it to her. But she's got some buy-in to academic success. She's enjoying the
yeah.
feeling of doing well in school.
Yeah.
So, what does she need to understand about motivation to help herself reconnect to her learning?
Well, part of the challenge is trying to have these conversations with her is quite difficult, because most of the time she just will just shut it down. So
mm-hmm.
finding the right, well, firstly the right time when, you know, like I said, she's open to a conversation. And secondly, what are the right words to kick it off where she'll be positively engaged in the conversation as opposed to just completely shutting me out? That's the kind of challenge.
Mm-hmm. How does she respond to your saying something like, wow, I just learned something really new and cool, I think you might be interested?
She can be quite dismissive. She's like, yeah, whatever. It's quite hard.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Because even when she can seem to be in a good mood, she's very intuitive, and she kind of knows that...
if you're trying to teach her something.
Correct, and she knows
yeah.
that, you know, I want her to be working and getting an outcome, and she just sees right through me and just cuts to the chase and shuts me down.
mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
Yeah. So what do you think she's bought into?
She's bought into doing well, but I don't, you know, I genuinely, it's really hard for her to maintain the consistency
mm-hmm.
around that, being able to continue to work. And I see big part of the issue is she doesn't know how to manage her ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that she starts to understand how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, she can get control of what she needs to do. But getting to the point to have that conversation to understand
you know, why this is hard for you and what are the different ways is the difficult thing. So mm-hmm. I think she's bought into wanting to do well. She's seeing some good results for her, you know, for the effort that she's putting in, but that next step is really, really hard for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's what I will sort of pose to you to ponder while we're continuing the conversation. And that's, you know, you, is that what if this wasn't about learning to manage her ADHD? What would be there for her if she were to understand something about human motivation? Right? Like, if you take away the ulterior motive to it, what's available for her? If you're not actually trying to teach her something to improve her ADHD, but come from a place of sharing something that's a fascinating thing about humans.
Okay, so she's studying psychology, which she
there you go.
Really enjoys, and she actually wants to go on and do psychology at uni.
Awesome. Great. So just sit with that while we move on. But that's the place to look. Is that so? What you're saying is that she can sense your ulterior motive.
Yes.
And so what I challenge you to do is to remove the motive.
It's kind of hard.
It is.
I really want her to do well, and she's so capable.
Right.
And when I see her just, you know, doing nothing, she's done no homework, no study for 3 weeks.
Yep. Yep. So that's
it's kind of hard to just put that away.
It is. It is. So then you got to get clear on what is it that you want for her that's that next level up. That's not, you know, tactically, I want her to learn to understand what it means to have ADHD so she can learn to self-manage it, right?
Yeah.
But if you can get her some skills that lead her in that direction or some awareness that leads her in that direction, will that actually give her the motivation to want to understand more and the buy-in to want to understand more? Because what you're saying is she's not yet bought into your interest in her learning to self-manage consciously.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is, what will get her to, what does buy-in look like for her in terms of sort of conscious self-management? And, you know, if the direct angle of I'm going to teach you isn't going to work, what other motivators are there to access that?
Yeah.
So what about, I'm going to sort of let that lie with you for a minute and just sort of process that as we're going through. Anybody else, what's coming up for you about motivation or buy-in and their relationship with each other?
Kate has gone on a camp over Easter, and which is another blessing because I don't need to worry about her. She'll be having loads of fun with a whole bunch of you.
Love that.
And, she'll be having a neat time. So I talked to her on Saturday and said, look, lots coming up this week, love. You need to think about getting ready for camp. And if you can yourself a pat. Yeah.
Can you hear anybody else there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Yep.
That was weird.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, Liz. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear anybody, I guess. So sorry. So I heard she was going away on this holiday, and then you walked out.
Yeah, she's going away on a youth camp, and which is awesome because then I don't miss her.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about her while other stuff's happening. So I talked to her about getting sorted for camp and packed, and I asked her what she was doing about that. She says, oh, I've written a list. And then I said, it needs to be done before Thursday. And, of course, it wasn't. I did remind her once, and each time she said yes, yes. And camp is something she really wants to go on, but it was too much for her to actually think about packing. So on the morning of us, I found out on Thursday, the day she was leaving, which they usually leave around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they were leaving at 1:30. Also, she wanted to see her father in hospital and the baby. So I thought, how on earth is this going to happen? So I was determined to stay calm, but I've been observing transitions. She really struggles with transitions and rushing. And so that whole thing of urgency is like a real demotivator for her, because if I say, you've only got this amount of time, I might say it in my voice is, you know, you've only got this amount of time. And so that's rushing her, and it just closes her down. So I thought I was being really good with this transition of I've got to get to camp, I've got to get packed to get to camp, by warning her earlier, reminding her earlier, saying this has to be done. Knowing she's got a list, she can start doing it. She came to me and she said, I'm stuck and I need help to get started, which I thought was awesome.
That is awesome.
And just to be calm, trying to organise her clothes, which were everywhere, trying me to let go and not do it for her, because I said to her that I wasn't going to pack for her this year because she always complains about my packing or how much stuff she's got, and she blames me because I'm in the room trying to help her do it.
Right.
So I wasn't going to do that this year, and so I had told her that, but here I am in her room holding up the clothing saying, do you want this, do you want that, just so we could get out the door for the bigger picture. So it was not a pleasant morning.
No,
but we were packed. And
so,
she had a huge bag because she stuffed everything in at the last minute because she couldn't make a decision. And, yeah, so trying to hand the baton to her is, yeah, it's really hard.
So what do you think was, when you said you need to be done and she said, yeah, 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 do you think it needs to be done by Thursday, yeah, 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 do you think you had her buy-in?
Probably not, because you're asking me that question.
No, but think about it. Do you think she was really bought in to having it done by Thursday?
No.
Okay. And so what was she saying yeah, yeah, yeah to?
The big, horrible job of packing that she hates.
Actually, I think she was saying, yeah, 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 to Mom thinks I should have it done by Thursday.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Right? So you have a chance to play it back again, right? If this were a do-over, what would you say differently to her to get it to be her agenda, not yours?
I would have no idea, because I thought I was doing something differently than I have done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did any part of what you do differently, do you feel like any of that, so let's fail forward with a little bit. What part did work?
None, because I ended up in her room.
But she did come and ask.
But it worked because I stayed calm. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, she came in and, she came and asked for help in an amazing way.
Right.
Explaining exactly what was wrong.
Had happened. So she got some ahas from it. And you stayed calm. Right.
Yeah.
So
and
I would call
I acknowledged her aha. I acknowledged her understanding of what had happened for her, and I happily went to support her. But
right.
as the time was ticking, I could see this was not going to work if I just stayed in the room and encouraged her.
That's fine.
We would have seen people 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
When we fail forward, we look at what worked and then what didn't that you would want to tweak differently. So there's no question that, you know, this issue of packing didn't work and you would want to tweak that and treat it differently, right? So, but what did work was you began to shift your approach. She got a little bit more ownership of it because she came and asked you for help in a really amazing way, right? So there's some good
yeah.
stuff. It wasn't a complete change. You know,
yeah.
it wasn't a full success, but it certainly wasn't a complete failure.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So, and this came up on a call I had earlier today, and so I just sort of offer it, particularly because you all have teenagers. Beware of the words you need. You need tends to put people on the defensive, particularly teenagers who are looking for self-control. Right? You need to have it done by Thursday. Well,
yeah.
you think I need to, but that's not my
yeah.
choice, right? So that one
yeah.
language tweak can really shift a lot of things. It,
yeah.
You're laughing, right? So if you take
you need
to have it done by Thursday out of it, how could you have had that conversation to get her buy-in differently?
So you're off for camp on Thursday. I was going to say, what do you need to get done for that? I said the word, you need.
Right.
But I asked it in a question.
That would be better. Try it again, though. That's
yeah.
great awareness that it still had that in there. So how would you do it differently? You want a little language?
How's it going with getting ready for camp?
Great.
But I know.
Well, have you thought about? Have you thought about what it's going to take to get ready for camp? Do you have a plan?
And she'll go. Yep. I've got a list. Which I think
cool.
she has. Yeah. But then in reality, the list never came out.
Well, but so if she said, then you can follow up with, when are you planning to have the packing done? What's your plan? Because as soon as she says, yeah, I've got it, then she's almost given you an invitation to say, cool, fill me in.
Mm.
Tell me your plan.
I'm saying
because
it a lot
now.
Now. I'm noticing.
Assuming that she's got a plan instead of assuming that she doesn't.
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't.
Yeah. I'm bringing that into my language a lot. You know, it's like,
uh-huh.
instead of saying, what are you going to do? I just say, oh, tell me your plan. Tell me your plan for whatever, after work or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what I love about what happened in this time is she gave you language to use the next time. Because now you can say, so I know getting activated or getting started can be really hard for you. Do you have an idea of how you're going to motivate yourself to do that?
Mm.
Right. Now you're acknowledging her. You're playing back her language.
Yeah.
You're giving her a little extra, which is, wow, it might be helpful to have a motivator.
Right.
And still presuming her success instead of presuming her failure.
Yeah.
So it's really just a tweak. I mean, you did great, actually. I think you handled it beautifully start to finish. I just want to acknowledge that, including standing there and saying, do you want this or that? Because she was at a crisis point, or not crisis, but, you know, a panic point where she needed you to come in there and help her get it done. And, you know, standing there and folding your arms and saying, you should have thought about this, wasn't going to help anybody.
Mm. Amanda, I bite those words back so many times. But no, it's totally unhelpful. That's going to just, you know, so.
Right. So that part, I mean, I think you handled it beautifully. And so the next, then you've learned from that so that the next opportunity, you begin to tweak it a little bit more. This is rinse and repeat, right?
Yeah.
But for all of these kids, helping them get the idea that the way their brain is wired, they need a motivator to get anything done.
Mm.
And that ultimately they got to find their own motivators. That the goal is to help them begin to see that for me to get started on my homework, I got to figure out what I'm going to give myself when I'm done. Or, you know, for young kids, it's gummy bears at the end of a page. And for older kids, it's, you know, I get to go out to coffee shop with my friends, whatever it is.
Mm.
But helping them see the value of setting their own motivators.
She won't do that now. She'll go out and say, I'll do it later. And then, of course,
well,
you know,
of course, right, she will, but this is where you're moving towards, right?
Yeah.
Is when you begin to help her see, because if she's bought into her success, her accomplishment, her whatever it is, then she can use a motivator, or help, you can help her set up a motivator, whatever it is, because she'll have an interest in using it. But if she's not bought in the first place, then it doesn't really, the motivator's not really going to help that much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Mm. Eden, what about you? What's coming up for you?
So we've recently discovered, we've always struggled with what the motivator is for Connor. He has a lack of interest, and novelty is a motivator, but the problem with that is, you know, we have to keep changing the systems all the time. It feels like things are broken all the time.
Yeah. Just for the record, I change my systems all the time. It does make Diane a little crazy, but it's what I need to do to stay engaged.
Yeah, and I do it as well. I get it, but it's like, it makes running the household difficult.
It does.
You know, because he's not changing the system. He's just not doing the system. So to get him to get reengaged, we have to change the system. And I haven't figured out how to make that, how to make novelty work better than it does currently.
Well, so my question to you is, what have you learned about buy-in?
So I have learned that it makes a huge difference, and that Connor will lie to me about buy-in. Like, we'll talk about something, and he's a people pleaser, so he'll be like, "Yeah, that sounds great." He will say whatever it is he thinks I want to hear, and then he will do it for a couple of days when it's novel, and then that's it. But you're right, because he didn't have the buy-in.
Yep. So it sounds like there's a sort of, how do you check to make sure the buy-in is authentic?
Yeah. So this time with the schedule, when he made his plan, I have been trying to get him to not come to the breakfast table and eat breakfast until he's dressed and these other things are done, since he was five, so for 9 years now, without success. And so when he put together the schedule, he put it together exactly the way I would want him to. And so we talked about it. I said, so, you know, I think this is a really great idea. All the things that sort of take the longest amount of time that don't get done are before breakfast. And so, but, you know, can you commit to that? And then he said yes. So I think I'm hoping we're moving in the right direction, where he made the list without me telling him what to do, and he and I had a conversation about him committing to it. And I guess my plan is, when inevitably in a few days, when he, you know, stopped doing it, that we can talk about, you know, that he committed to it, and, you know, do we need to revisit, or, but, you know, he's got to own it.
Well, so the first thing I want to say is congratulations for not saying I told you so. It's the hardest thing of all is when they finally come around and to not say, see, I've been telling you this for 9 years, you know, like, good for you. And so then the other thing I would offer is to check in with him before it inevitably starts to fail, in a day or two and say, I just want to check in, how's it working? How's it going for you?
Ah.
Is there anything you feel like you want to tweak or change, or do you feel like it's working?
Okay, and we just started doing a Sunday family meeting as sort
Great.
Of a mechanism for him to sort of report back to us on his grades and the other things that he's doing independently, so that I'll add that to the agenda so we make sure to sort of have a chance to address
Great.
That.
So it's sort of check in. How's it going? Is it working? I will offer to you, if you're doing a family meeting and he's reporting and stuff like that, make sure there's a space for him to know that he can bring issues that he's concerned about the family meeting, so it's not just a one-way, not just
oh,
your
yeah.
agenda.
And, yeah, actually, and we do that. We have sort of
okay.
a...
Okay, all right. I just had to say it out loud.
Yeah.
But if you check in with him, see how the system's working, let him recognize that there's a success there. Feel the success or tweak it to modify it to make it more successful.
Mm-hmm.
That can help it be more sustainable. And then you can even ask the question, again, a couple of days later, check in again, how's it going? And if it feels like you're sticking with it, it's like, wow, this is really great. It sounds like you've got something that you stuck with for a while. How's that feel? Do you want to, like, you know, because I know sometimes we try things for a while and it goes away. Like, raise his awareness to what he's doing and to the successes he's having. Not just the results, but the process.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about when he put the schedule together is he wrote it in a weird way. Like, he wrote things in a numerical order, and then he put times next to it. But instead of putting the time the task starts, he puts the time the task ends,
mm-hmm.
which
that
I was like,
sense.
Well, that's not, I said, well, that's not normally how you write a schedule. And he's like, well, that's the way my brain works. So
that's
I was
the way my brain works, too, because I need to know what the deadline is.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Like, when I look
mm-hmm.
at the schedule, it makes no sense to me. Right?
Which is great, because it doesn't need to make sense to you. It needs to make sense to him.
Right, right.
That's brilliant. I love that. And so what I'm hearing in this is that you've got some good, he's got a good sense of buy-in around it, and so it's helping him stay motivated with it by letting it really be his and tweaking it and changing it and modifying it and seeing his successes.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so for everybody, what do you feel like you focused on today, and what's your aha? What are you taking away? Because I want this to allow you, instead of a commitment this week, to really focus on where you want to take aim from here. So what's your focus or your aha?
One of the things I'm thinking about is transitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lauren struggles with them, so I'm just aware that, you know, just being conscious and curious as to how she handles transition from, you know, school to holiday.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things I will offer for you, Pam, is that when you verbalize your own awareness of something about you, not about her, she's pretty good at pulling it into herself. She's intuitive enough to apply it to herself. So if you make an observation around, it's so hard to transfer, you know, I was home from work for a while and then I had to go back from work to work. Those transitions can be really hard.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. She reads between the lines really well.
Yeah.
If it's not you trying to teach her something.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, anybody else?
I'm going to be really aware of the you need and look at my language, try and think of new ways of saying stuff, not using those words. Plus, I'm going to continue my self-care.
Yay. More laughter.
Yeah. More laughter and art. Got to get into my art room.
Oh, that's good.
So that's my commitment.
Awesome. Brilliant. Ian, what about you?
My aha really has been I've been using more of the language that I've learned with part of this group, talking, you know, about triggers and motivation and being curious, and that has really changed the intensity of the conversations in my house. When Connor's come home and he's upset about something that's totally not related to what he's really upset about, I was able to talk to him about triggers, and we had a really productive discussion. It just sort of totally changed the tone of things. And so that's
awesome.
Been really amazing.
Cool. So what do you want to commit to or focus on from here?
It's continuing to talk with Connor about sort of how the schedule is going and sort of keeping, you know, keeping that in the forefront instead of just assuming it's handled.
Great. Cool. So continuing the conversation. And Pam, I feel like you said you made a sort of commitment, but I somehow didn't capture it in my brain.
Okay. So I think I might try and, you know, talk about transitions or triggers and just about my experiences with stuff. So if somebody does something at work that annoys me, I might say, you know, I just hate it when I'm triggered. I can't concentrate on anything, and just try and sort of build their awareness of stuff through talking more about my experiences.
That's great. The coaching term for that, just so you know, is called transparency.
Okay.
And it's just about, you know, if you're clear and transparent about yourself and can have those open conversations without judgment, then it becomes an access point for other people.
Okay.
So I love that. Cool. Anything anybody else, anything coming up for anybody else, or do we feel sort of complete? Okay, then I want to
really
say...
been really helpful, yeah, good.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I love it. I always love being with you guys, and I want to acknowledge you for the... you're all going through a lot of intense stuff in your lives, the two of you on the other side of the planet, even more so the rest of us. And so I just want to acknowledge you all for making the time and the commitment to be here and be present to these calls and to this conversation. I know that it's not for us, it's for you, and I hope that it's serving you as well as your families. But it really, what you're doing matters. So I just want you to remember that and hold on to that. And thanks, everybody, for being here. I think we've got a couple of weeks off in the next couple of weeks. We're not, because Diane and I have spring break. So we'll be back, I think, the second week or first full week of April. So I think there's a two week lag. So use the forum, connect with each other, and and I'll talk to you all in a few weeks.
Okay,
awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.